Welcome to the Scott Townsend Show, brought to you by Dietzel Man Productions.
Can you give us a little Pastor Bobby, 30 seconds?
Ooh, on the spot.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Scott, for getting me on this show. Oh my God. With the things you do on here, you don't know this, but you're a blessing. You are a blessing. And what you're doing, you don't know the ripple effect. You know, it's like David throwing a rock into the pond. What happens? It makes a ripple. And that's what you're doing. You're making a ripple effect. You don't even know this side of eternity how much of an effect you're having. So keep it up.
Hey, this is Scott Townsend. Welcome back to the Scott Townsend Show. Today I have with me two, I won't say budding comedians. It's kind of like, what would you do if you had the chance to interview Steve Martin when he first got started, or maybe Jerry Seinfeld or Sebastian Maniscalco or something when they just were coming out of the gate? Well, that's kind of what this is like here. We've got two super funny guys that are starting comedic career. Well, you know what? I don't even say starting, because you've been doing comedy for a long time, but you're really, it's like you're sole focus now, or I could be wrong there. So anyway, Chris Munch and Adam Bush, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
Chris, I've been on the show before, so.
Oh my gosh.
I really know the ropes here. So yeah, if you want to follow my lead,
guide me, Adam, through this. Hold my hand right through it.
So Adam, yeah, you've been on the show before, really had a good time last time, the last couple of times actually. So
we spoke,
you know, you talked about getting into comedy and kind of why you stepped off into the wild blue yonder and go into it full time. I wonder, Chris, what's your response to that? What's your, you know, you've been in comedy for a long time. You can go into that too, but how did you decide, you know what, I'm going to, this is it.
It was over many years of wrestling with it, because I had a full-time job doing a lot of performing, a lot of sketch comedy, a lot of writing, opportunities to perform in front of literally thousands of people. I mean, did that for years and years and years. And then that kind of job changed where we weren't really doing those kinds of things anymore. And so I was trying to kind of like step up and like, okay, now it's, I've had my fun. Now it's time to kind of have a real job and, you know, grow up and be a leader and all these things. And, as I tried to kind of do that, I just was like, I'm terrible at this. Like I like trying to lead a team and like, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I feel like I can't get it. And so for me, it was through a lot of pain of just going, why don't I do the things that I'm good at and what I've had success with in the past and what the things I really love to do. And so it was kind of embracing my own gifts to kind of go, you know what, these are the things that I'm good at. And how do I take a step in that direction to be able to do these kinds of things more often? And that's scary because you're like, I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I love acting and performing, but I don't know a whole lot of professional actors in my town. Do I need to move somewhere? You know, I know Adam. That's right. But even then, Adam at that time was still, you were still working, at the church.
So it was
kind of a step into the unknown, but I just felt like that's what I was supposed to do. I feel like it's like, I want to take a step into what I feel like the gifts that God's given me, like that's the direction I want to go. And, yeah, so that's kind of where it came from, was like realizing I'm kind of had drifted out of my element, and like, what do I have to do to get back in kind of my sweet spot?
So Adam, how did you take that leap? You know, you're full time, you're doing Chris's job, and then you decided at some point, okay, here I go. And what was that?
I already kind of paved a way. You know, I had done the heavy lifting of kind of paving the way for Adam just to kind of follow in behind.
Yeah, really. I didn't have a choice. I mean, I was
being the pioneer that you are.
Yeah. The pioneer that I am. Right.
Yeah. It's kind of, to me, it's a little nerdy, but, I was gifted a life plan, last year, and, which was like kind of a 3-day intensive, just looking at your talents and the history of your life and where you kind of want to go. And the more that we did it, the more I realized like being a stand up and a writer was really where my heart is right now. The last 15 years of work have been amazing. I have been fortunate enough that I haven't really had a lot of jobs that I hated going to. I mean, I had a career for the last 15 years that I loved, but the season was changing, and I knew that I needed to get in front of it. I've been in a couple of jobs before where I didn't get in front of it and kind of got dragged out of it. Yeah. And that's never a very positive experience. And yeah. And then it'd be awesome to say that, like, well, I guess I'd just say, well, once I kind of made the decision, I a couple of things that I have been doing sort of intersected. One was I wrote a television show, which we've talked about before, a kids television show, Pete and Penelope. It streams on Amazon Prime. And then I started stand up about 4 years ago. And about the time that I was leaving my job, I got another offer to write on a new television show. And so between that and just how stand-up was picking up, I perform at a lot of churches. I'm a clean comic, so I perform at a lot of corporate events. Got one tonight and tomorrow. It just, like, the two really kind of came at the perfect time. And so it was just sort of a culmination of, like, just the last 10 years of work just sort of, like, coming together. I think that's kind of one lesson that I learned pretty early on when I wanted to get into writing was especially living in the Midwest. If you want to do it, you kind of got to do it yourself.
Do you guys work together now?
Yeah.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, occasionally, Chris. I was going to say a lot. Well, you know, when we...
We
do our podcast. We started doing stand-up together for the most part, right, Chris? Like we had a season there where we were doing a lot of shows together.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then when Chris really... you know, became a local celebrity with acting, we did find that we were kind of, you know, our paths were becoming more specific for each other. I'm definitely a storyteller and a comic, and Chris is definitely an actor, and that's not really something that I do. But what has been great is that we've been able to do this together because they're so similar. And besides the fact that Chris is one of my best friends, a couple of years last year, I got to meet the comedian Nate Bargatze, who I'm a big fan of, and I just asked him. We had about 5 minutes together, and I asked him for advice on being a comic, and he said, "Find your people and stick with them." And that's something that I feel like Chris and I, or I guess I can speak for myself, I've been very fortunate to find in Chris, because although we're not doing exactly the same thing, we are on a very similar journey together.
Before we continue, the best way to support the Scott Townsend Show is by telling friends, family members, and becoming a patron at patreon.com/the Scott Townsend Show. So yeah, we have awesome perks. Personalized videos, personalized episodes, all kinds of cool stuff at different tier levels. Patreon allows us to do the show full-time, part-time, anytime. So thank you so much for your support.
Something I didn't realize was how lonely stand up or like working in this sort of art can be, because mm-hmm. it's just not that common. And so in fact, Chris yesterday called me up and he was like, "Hey, I get this invitation or whatever mm-hmm. to do the same. What do you think about it?" Mm-hmm. That's really, really helpful. Otherwise mm-hmm. you're just sort of like, "Well, I guess mm-hmm. we'll see what I should do next." But to be able to bounce that off of each other, it really is a big gift.
So whether you use it in your stand-up or your act or not, or if it's just a personal favorite of yours, what's your favorite joke?
Man, it's funny. I don't know that I have like a specific joke.
Probably one of my jokes when you say Chris.
Yeah, probably some of Adam's stuff. I do have a favorite video, and I don't know if it's, I don't know that it would be interesting for people to hear about, but I there was a video that I did where I'm wearing chainmail.
That's a great video.
Opening with the face, and I'm you know, I say this ridiculous line about, "It looks like you just found your knight in shining armor," and the video didn't do very well, and I'm just like, I can't see that and not laugh, because I just believe, I don't even see myself, I just believe it all the way, and I just think this guy is incredible that he thinks he looks so cool. It just reminds me of like that little boy, like, I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid, when you're like in the gym and like girls would walk in and then you start like playing basketball or something. And like, you think if you make the shot that all the girls are going to be like, "Ooh, who's this guy?" And no one's doing that. It's just that idea of like, you think you look so attractive. It's like, but you don't, you're not, it's not what you think it is. So anyway.
I like that video too, Chris. So
you know.
Yes.
So can we post a link to that in the show notes?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knight in shining armor. Tell us a little bit about Stevens and Ricky Rhodes. Just a quick one.
Yeah.
Sentence. Whatever.
Yeah. So we've talked about Steven. He's a guy who thinks he's super attractive, who is looking for a date and is forever not finding one. Despite his best efforts, so he's just this guy who's constantly longing for a date and thinks he's being really attractive when he's not. Ricky Rhodes is an aspiring country music artist who can't sing, and so it's kind of a little bit of that same dynamic where he's pouring his heart into these what he thinks are deep thoughts and then attempting to sing a song, but it's like no one told him he can't sing, but for some reason he has it in his mind that he's going big and all that. Yeah. And then Pastor Bobby is another character I do. Pastor Bobby is he's a good hearted pastor who's just, again, kind of oblivious to the things that he says. You know, sometimes he says inappropriate things and doesn't realize they're inappropriate, or just over exaggerates or over spiritualizes things that happen, you know, makes them out to be some big thing that God did when it was really just a pretty minor thing. But
can you give us a little Pastor Bobby, a 30 second?
Ooh, on the spot.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Scott, for getting me on this show. Oh my God. Well, the things you do on here, you don't know this, but you're a blessing. You are a blessing. And what you're doing, you don't know the ripple effect. You know, it's like David throwing a rock into the pond. What happens? It makes a ripple. And that's what you're doing. You're making a ripple effect. You don't even know this side of eternity how much of an effect you're having. So keep it up.
Oh, that's cringeworthy and funny at the same time.
That's where I tend to gravitate towards for some reason.
So, Adam, you life was a little different, I guess. You tell me, after Mike Birbiglia and your little journey with him and all that. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, not immediately. I think it really just winning the contest to open up for Mike Birbiglia back in 2018 was I think just an opportunity for me to see something that I hadn't really thought about before. I had performed a lot. Chris and I had written stories and sketches that I had performed in or monologues that I had done. But that was kind of the first time that I realized, like, oh, okay, maybe I could just do this like in a kind of a bigger, not that a church audience isn't big, but like kind of a different right. sort of setting that would kind of maybe fit me really well. And so, yeah, I guess I would say if life has turning points, that's a turning point in my life. That's definitely a marked moment where I look back and say, like, okay, had that not happened, I mean, honestly, I don't know that I would be a comic. I think I would probably just be a writer if that hadn't happened. And so, and then, you know, he has given me advice along the way, which has been very helpful. It also gave me a little bit of street cred right out of the gate, which is a little currency in the comedy world. So that did help. And, but I think when I think even following his journey along the way, because we are very similar, my style of storytelling is very similar to his, following his journey along the way. And then, you know, every now and then, and very much every now and then, I'm able to ask a question that's just like, why did you decide to do that? Or even to watch a show and be like, I think I understand where it's coming from, that sort of thing. And then getting my dry bar special, that was probably like the next big moment in stand-up. So dry bar comedy is, yeah, my dry bar. Yeah. So just for people who don't know, dry bar comedy is the leading clean comedy channel on YouTube, and they have an app and they're on Peacock, and they produce clean comedy shows out of Provost, Utah. And I got asked to perform and film that special about a year ago. So that'll come out this next year. So, and that was kind of like, you know, if you're looking at like check marks along the way when you decide to do something, especially if it's artistic, you know, I think that's a check mark. That's sort of like, okay, keep going, you know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know where this is going, but we're headed in a good direction if we're doing this. And so, yeah, so I think that would be kind of fit in there with just kind of those marked moment kind of things.
So Chris, you mentioned some of your favorite comedians, Jim Carrey, all those guys from SNL. Adam, what's one of your, who are, how should I say that? Not your favorite, but one of your favorite comedians.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of listen to the same, like as far as storytelling comics, I kind of listen to the same guys, all the time. Nate Bargatze is a huge inspiration. He, you know, his big thing is we want it to be so funny that you don't even realize it's clean. And I love that. And so, mm-hmm. and he's got a group of guys with him that I'm a big fan of. Of course, Mike Birbiglia, he's kind of the main storytelling comic in probably in the world. mm-hmm. You know, his shows are pretty much have one narrative through them. Love Sebastian Maniscalco. I think his new special just came out. I'm excited to watch that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are, I'm leaving one out that I'm a big fan of a comic named Dustin Nickerson. And mm-hmm. I think he's really funny. One of the reasons I really like him is, and it's probably the reason that I suggested to Chris that we do a podcast, is because he's a clean comic. And not all the comics I like are totally clean, but I do like a lot of the clean comics. One of the reasons we're like, he has a church background. So he's not a Christian comic, but he has a church background, very similar to mine. And his family is very involved in his business of comedy. So his podcast is him and his wife. And I just love that in 2022, I get to not just listen to comics, but I get to kind of like be a part of their life or get to know them better. They become, you know, my friends sort of. And that it just means a lot to me, especially because my family is so important to me. And so many comics have been unable to just keep a family or start a family or have a family. Mm. And so, yeah, so those are some of the ones that I really admire a lot.
Chris, you mentioned, did you mention that you guys have a podcast?
I think I mentioned it.
You kind of mentioned it. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, so we just wanted to get together and talk about, we thought our journey was a little bit unique, might be kind of interesting, the idea of having full-time jobs for a long time, of being the age we are to kind of step into.
We're 90 years old.
90 for a 90-year-old person to kind of step into it. You don't hear about
a new career.
And it looks as good as we do. That was kind of the genesis of it, was just like, it might be interesting for people to kind of hear our story. And you know, both of us are love storytelling and all that too. And so I love being funny, but I also like being like challenging people with ideas and thoughts and all that too. So it's like, it might be an outlet to kind of be able to share, I don't know, our lives with more people. You know, I mean, TikTok videos I do, they're, you know, 30 to 60 second little blips. And so if it's an opportunity to kind of influence more people. So
if anybody wanted more information, if someone wants more information about you, Adam, where would they go?
Well, first I'd like to say, because Chris didn't mention it, it's the podcast is called Risk It for the Biscuit.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, the podcast is called Risk It for the Biscuit.
I should have asked that question. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine.
That's on the host, listen. Adam. That's on the host. That's fine.
That's no. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, fair enough.
That's on me.
You asked me what? Sorry, Scott. What was the question you asked me?
If anybody, you know, anybody listening wants to get a hold of you or find out more information about Adam Bush, where do they go?
Yeah. So, hey, Adam Bush is my main handle. So any social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Hey Adam Bush, but you can go to heyadambush.com and you can see all my clips. You can reach out if you want to book me for your gig, then you can reach out there and make it pretty easy. Yep.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah. ChrisMunchComedy.com. It's the same thing like Adam saying, you can get to all my stuff, all my handles, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Same thing, Chris Munch Comedy. And you can connect with me there.
Oh, I should say this, Scott, so I don't forget. I do have a new special coming out. I don't know what platform it'll be on yet, but I know that if you go to heyadambush.com and sign up for my email list, then you'll be one of the first ones to know. And it is my first story. It's an hour long. It's called Who Brought the Kid? I filmed it in Tulsa. And it is a one long narrative about one specific part of my life.
Yeah, and I've seen it. It's fantastic.
And Chris was there. Chris opened.
I was there. Yeah. That's right. I opened. That's right.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, I really appreciate you guys stopping by and talking about your comedy and what you're doing. And I just think it's fantastic. Everybody loves to laugh. You know, everybody loves to laugh, but that's one of the hardest things to do is to get people to laugh. So you've really kind of chosen a really hard profession, but it's a lot of fun when it works. And you guys are good at making it work. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, Scott. Yeah. It's scary. It's scary. I'm not going to lie, but it's so rewarding too. So.
All right. Very true. For Adam Bush and Chris Munch, this is Scott Townsend. Thanks for watching and listening to the Scott Townsend Show. Have a great day. Everything's going to be all right. And we'll talk to you later.
The Scott Townsend Show is a Dietz O'Man production. For more episodes, visit the Scott Townsend Show YouTube channel, listen on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. The Scott Townsend Show.
Asegúrese de mirar por encima del hombro antes de cambiar de carril.